Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved her bees. A ghost is recently deceased. A real cool mom. A musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
Welcome back. And we are continuing our interview with Presley Ryan and her mom, just to get her take on what it's like being a child actor on Broadway. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you might want to stop, listen to that one, and then come back. And now we're going to hear all about what it's like working with all of us crazy adults on Broadway. Presley, what's it like for you being like the only kid in a show?
It's definitely very interesting because I feel like in the past, like before Beetlejuice, there'd always been other kids around. So like This is like a completely different experience. But It was definitely interesting because I did have a Wrangler, so like everyone else could do whatever they want, and I had this Wrangler who like was kind of like always with me, and like we would go everywhere together backstage or to rehearsals or whatever. So it was definitely interesting, like being the only person who had that kind of a constraint and like couldn't go everywhere on her own. But I turned 17 during no 16 during the show. And at that point, I didn't need a Wrangler anymore, so I kind of had a lot of more freedom backstage, which I enjoyed. But no, it was really cool because like I tend to be on the more mature side, so I do. It was like nice. Like I would have all these friends who were like older than me, and I liked it. Everyone was super nice, and I made friends for a lifetime, like who are all adults, but like we all respect each other like in the same way. So yeah.
That's awesome. I know. Do you still talk to Dana?
Of course.
Oh, you guys were so cute together, like wearing your matching outfits and everything.
Oh, we twinned all the time. And half the time it was like unintentional. We just have a lot of the same clothes.
What do you feel like is the hardest part of being on Broadway?
For me, because I'm a kid, like keeping up with school and being in a Broadway show at the same time, that's always been hard. And also maintaining like your health at the same time and like making sure that like you are capable of doing a show 8 times a week and showing up like ready to do it each time. It can be like a challenging task. And like there were so many things like outside of the show that like I would have to do to make sure that like I was always healthy and like ready to do the show. Like I would have
tell everybody about that. Yeah, what would you have to do?
I did, like, I had immune shots every single day. I would take emergency. I had a steamer, like a vocal steamer that you use in this, like, I would do that before every single show. Like, there was just so much that, like.
You studied with the same voice teacher too, right?
Did we?
Didn't you? Oh,
Derek?
I thought you. Oh, no, I go to Liz Kaplan.
Oh, no, I haven't worked with Liz yet.
But you would do your vocal exercises and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I would warm up before each show, vocally, like physically. Like, there's so much that you have to do, like, before a show, like, to make sure that, like, you're showing up ready to do that. And, like, there was a lot that goes into that too.
And I have to say, some adults don't even put that thought and energy into it the way you do. So that was something that's really special about you, that you take it so, you just work really, really hard and you're so professional.
Thank you.
And you treat it like it's a job, because it is, you know? And so you're not going to walk through, you're not going to show up after, like, going to a party the night before, you know, like, it's really, a good trait that you have, that you're so, professional.
Thank you.
Okay. So here's a big question for both of you. As actors, we deal with rejection literally every single day. So you've been having it. Well, Matilda was your first rejection, right?
Yeah.
So how do you deal with rejection? And then I want to know how Kim helps you deal with that.
It's definitely difficult. In the beginning, when I first started, I didn't realize how much rejection comes along with this kind of career. And so I would go on audition after audition and I wouldn't get anything. And I'd be like, am I doing something wrong? Is there, like, is it not enough? Do I have to work harder? But I think over time, when you start to do this, like, you realize that, like, rejection is a part of a career in the theater, and you have to face hundreds of auditions before you get your first yes. But, like, there's so many no's before you ever get a yes. And I think at this point, I'm kind of just used to it. And I take every single no as an opportunity to learn and grow as a performer.
Yes.
So that for the future, like, I know that, like, this is all part of the process. And whatever's meant to happen will happen. And until then, like, I just need to keep doing what I'm doing and keep working hard and take each audition as a learning experience in a way.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing advice and so true. I was the same way, Presley.
Yeah.
I, you know, I started when I was 9 and I didn't get on Broadway until I was out of college, and I got rejected so many times. But every time I would just think, okay, that means I just have to work harder. I just need to take more classes and get better. And it was true. I really did need to get better. But I mean, I'm so proud of you for, like, having that mental capacity and thinking that way. Really good. Okay, Kim, what did you do to get her here?
Well, she did have a good attitude, you know, but I guess when we started, we discussed that, you know, there was going to be a lot of rejection, and it's challenging because everybody wants the job, and, you know, every audition, you know, you're like, oh my God, I could see myself doing that. I would really like that. But over time, and knowing, you know, how many other people, you know, are also feel that way about every audition that they go to, and only, you know, there's usually one spot. So, you know, not everybody can book the job. So you have to, you know, we've learned that it being the right fit, being a piece of the puzzle. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you didn't do a good job. And so, you know, we've also discussed a lot about the audition itself being the performance, and that being the reward of being able to, like, go in there. And actually, interesting story on Presley with Beetlejuice is when that audition came in, she actually had, it was a lot of material. And it was, I think she had like a day or two to learn it, and she had like some big plan or something. So I said, Presley, don't even bother with this one. It's, you know, they're definitely going to be looking for over 18. Mm-hmm. you know, and this one's going to be like a waste of your time. So like, if you don't want to do it, like keep your plans. And because that is also part of it is sometimes, you know, you don't have a lot of time to prepare. And I think yes. It was like two songs and a bunch of scenes and a big packet. And it was like a day or two to, you know, learn it all and get ready. And Presley said, she looks at it and she said, no, I want this. She was like, I think she was meeting with the creative team. It was a creative team appointment. And so she said, I'm going to go in front of that creative team and do a good job. And that's it. Like even if they're not looking for me, I just want them to know who I am. And I just want them to know that I'm going to do a good job.
That's so, you know, smart.
So if they're not looking for me right now, maybe they'll be looking for me later. So like, she just has that really good attitude about it. But, you know, so it's been easy for her to, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, certain auditions can be really, you know, disappointing, you know, to not hear back from, but, you know, in general, that is the norm. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice to give to parents whose children want to do this?
My best advice would just be to make sure it's something that your child really, really, really wants to do. You can't push your kid into doing this. And nor would you want to, I wouldn't want to. Yes. It's expensive. It's time consuming, you know, the lessons, you know, Presley trains weekly, even, you know, so this is a long term, you know, she's been at this for now almost 10 years. She's, you know, she has an acting lesson, a voice lesson, a dancing lesson, at least once a week, sometimes multiple times a week, depending on, you know, what she has going on, plus the training and getting her to each of these places. And then, you know, when she has a job, it's also time consuming. And how are you going to juggle getting them there? And of course, there's a lot of rejection, and then there's downtime, and why isn't this working out for me? And you know, you have to be a person who, one, can deal with all of those things, and you have to be able to, you know, your child has to be wanting that and being able to deal with all of that. And if they don't have that, I wouldn't pursue it. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, 100%. You see those kids who don't want to do it, and it's really sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know, when you see your child on a huge stage, you know, Madison Square Garden or a Broadway stage, it is, I mean, the feeling that you get, it's just like you get like choked up even like thinking about it, like just seeing, you know, like Pride is, it's unbelievable. And so we've had these really amazing adventures and experiences with Presley that are so rewarding. But if it wasn't something that she wanted, it just would never feel the same way. It just wouldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great advice. Thank you. Thank you so much, Presley and Kim. After this short break, we have our special guest coming up. Stay tuned.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We have some very special guests on the show with us now. We have my parents, Jim and Maureen. Welcome to the show, Mom and Dad.
Well, we're happy to be here.
Amen.
So I have you on because I'm talking to child actors and their parents. So I thought I would interview you. Now, the last person that was on, the mom, Kim, Presley's mom, she said that, you know, you should always follow your child and only put them in if they really want to do it. Now, you did not do that. You were a stage mom who put all of us in commercials, correct?
Well, the reason I did it was I was a teacher and I didn't get any pay when I had the children, you know, so I figured my sister, your Aunt Kathy,
yes,
had taken her son,
Jay,
to the city and he booked his first commercial. And it was such an adorable commercial. And I think it was for United States Savings Bonds.
Right.
And it was on all the time. And then she was married before me, my sister. And then I got married and I had you. And mm-hmm. then I had Susie. And
stay on point. So then you decided to put us into commercials?
I figured I'd try it with you both.
Okay, and how did Aunt Kathy even know how to do it?
I don't know how she found out how to do it, but she did, and so I just
did you so did I you went just send agent. In our pictures? Where did you go?
I went to an agency. And
how did you find the agency?
I don't know. We didn't have computers in those days,
right?
You know, did we? No, maybe we.
You probably took pictures of me and sent them in to the agent, right?
Yes. Right. That's exactly what we did. Yeah, and so then we were accepted by an agency, and
I think it was the Bloom Agency.
Maybe. No, that was not when I was four.
No.
Oh yeah.
So this was when I was 4 years old.
When you were four, and you got. How many commercials did you get then? You got a couple of commercials.
Yes.
Right.
And you
away.
Liked it. And you enjoyed it.
Yeah, you did. And Susie, she got
my sister.
She got one, almost got one as a baby. Mm-hmm. She would like the stand-in baby.
Mm-hmm. And then she did a magazine.
She did
also.
A magazine, yeah. But then mm-hmm. as she got older, she didn't like it. Meanwhile, you loved it. You uh-huh. loved going in, and you followed directions very well. So you continued,
and you were excited about it.
You did a lot of was fab one, and
yeah. But then you stopped, right? You didn't want me to do it anymore.
Well, yeah.
I think she wanted to do it, but she was back at work.
I started okay. back
and that
to
was
work.
Tough.
Yeah, and it was very hard
working 5 days a week.
But
she would still take you in after she got through work too.
Yeah,
was when I begged. Then I begged you to take me back to
right,
take me
yes,
back, right?
Right, right.
After
yeah.
I saw Annie.
Yeah, after you saw Annie, you said, "I want to be up there. I want to be Annie."
Do you remember when the car broke down on the West Side Highway?
No.
And she had to get out and fix the distributor cap.
Yes.
She lifted. Oh,
in,
my God.
In
gosh.
New York City. I'm under the well, now it's no longer under the West Side Highway. But yeah, the distributor cap. And we had this problem all the time with this distributor cap. I would go crazy. And people would look.
You were taking me to an audition?
Yes. Taking you to an audition.
Yeah. And she'd get there in time.
Was Annie the first Broadway show you took us to?
I think it was.
Okay, so I saw Annie, and then I begged you to audition for it?
Oh, yes, you did. You did. And I was teaching, so Daddy was around, and he took you in for the audition. And then it wound up that they took the Daily News took your picture.
Right on the front of you. And the day before, we were in this long line to get in this theater for auditions. Mm-hmm. There must have been hundreds of people there. And this reporter from the paper came and talked with you. And then, as I say, you went in and you auditioned. And there was your picture the next day on the Daily News as singing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then And then I got called back that day, or I remember that they would put us in a room and then call out names. And I think if your name was called, you could either stay or leave. It was one of those things.
Do you remember how that happened?
They would cut people.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was for the callback, wasn't it, Karen?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And unfortunately, you didn't make it.
Right.
Oh, right. That time.
Yeah.
At that time. That was for the movie.
That was.
No. I never got Annie anywhere.
No, you never got Annie.
No. But you were. It was a callback for the movie. They said, but then they.
Both of them I didn't get.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So then you got me into regional theater, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was it? How did you do that? Do you know?
The one at the.
Regina Pachis?
Yes, Regina Pachis. I think it was maybe advertised in the local paper.
Oh.
They're looking for people?
Yeah. They were talking about it for casting the show.
Okay.
So I think that's probably how you got that. Yeah. And it was good. It was a great show. You know, mm-hmm. It was...
And you would just take me there and drop me off and then pick me up after rehearsals?
Yes.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then back...
It was neighborhood, you know, so it wasn't,
right, it was close
big
by.
Trip or anything. Yeah.
Right. So if your kid is interested in theater, any experience on stage is extremely helpful and as good training as the best teachers in New York City. So you can find out about your community theater, your regional theater, whatever theater is near you. I would start there and put your kids working on stage with adults or with other kids. There's also this program called TADA, which is awesome. I know that's in New York. I'm not sure if it's also around the rest of the country. But so I did regional theater and then we found auditions through Backstage, which you can still find auditions through Backstage because you can, now it's online. My dad used to buy the paper every Thursday, I think, and we would look through for auditions. Now it comes out on online. So you can look through Backstage for any auditions. And they even have, I think Broadway World also has auditions for whatever state you are and even country you are. Check out Broadway World because they also have like an audition site. So then through Backstage, I auditioned for Young Stars, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a good experience.
Yes. So Young Stars was a cabaret in the city and most of the kids, we would perform and get paid in ice cream sundaes. And most of the kids were on Broadway. And Seth Rudetsky was in it. Sarah Jessica Parker were in it. All the Annies were in it. And so Seth always jokes that the kids in shows would wear like their names across their shirt, like Annie, Peter Pan, Evita. And me and Seth had like Hanes because, you know, we weren't in any Broadway shows. But it was a great, great experience. I had so many friends there. Also, when you're really into theater, you feel like an outcast a lot. So just finding a community of other nerdy kids who love theater is amazing. So on the weekends, you would take me into the city and I would perform, sing songs in front of, like, usually it was an audience of other kids having birthdays or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is where I found my agent, because my agent saw me performing
there.
There
were a lot of agents would go there.
Yeah. So also, wherever you can perform, you can always write to agents. A good way to find agents who represent kids is on IMDb or there's the Broadway database. So do a search online, look up performers that you like, child performers, and then see who their agents are. I know CESD is a big kid agent. Stuart Talent is a big kids agent. Trying to think of who else is still big. There's a lot of really good kids agents out there. So look up the performers that you like and click on IMDb, see who their agent is, or maybe they put their agent in their bio or something like that. And then send a postcard, send something to that agent. Or, and also when you're in a show, invite the agent or the assistant to see you in the show. So this just happened. Agents were scouting kids because this was, Young Stars was very, they got really good people. And so agents would always go there and look for talent. So I got my agent there. And that's when I started auditioning for commercials again. And I started auditioning for TV and film and theater.
Right.
And so my mom would take me after school, and you had a full-time job, and you would take me into the city for my auditions after school most of the time.
Mm, yeah, it was tough. You, when you were younger, I would park the car. I would never let you go by yourself.
Right.
As you got older, a teenager, then I would sometimes sit in the car and you could, you know, just the safety precautions that you should take with children, with young children, you know.
Yeah. So I didn't really get much theater work when I was younger through the agents, right?
No, you didn't.
How would you, do you remember, so do you guys remember when I got cast in the Annie movie?
Oh my. We were so excited. We were sitting at dinner and
you got a call.
We got a phone call and they said that you have been selected to be Annie.
Not Annie.
No, not Annie.
No, Annie. It wasn't Annie. It was
to be one of the orphans in the Annie movie.
One of the orphans in Annie.
I think it was on the voice. I think it was on the answering machine.
Maybe it was. You're right. We were screaming. We were all sitting at dinner and yelling and screaming. And then a few minutes later, we get another call. And the other call said, "We're sorry. We made a mistake." Oh, my gosh. That was the worst ever.
And I never forget. I was so depressed that night that I couldn't sleep. And I went in to check my daughter, Carrie. And there she is. I think she was snoring, fast asleep, oblivious to everything.
But that,
so yeah,
that was your first lesson in rejection.
Right. I mean, well, Annie on Broadway really was, since I didn't get that one.
But then,
but that was a big one.
That was another one. Yeah,
yeah, I got rejected by Annie twice, but I still dream of being Annie. And so then, with my agents, they at one point said, I started doing some commercials, and I ended up, during my high school years, ended up getting a lot of commercials. And somebody asked, as I posted questions on my Instagram, someone asked, "Can you make money from doing this?" And the answer is yes. I paid for my whole college with the money that I made from commercials as a kid. Then one time my agents called me in and said, "Oh, you know, you're doing great with commercials, but we just don't think that you have what it takes to be an actor in theater." So how, with all of this rejection, how would you guys help me deal with rejection?
Well, we would just...
we would be positive, for one thing.
Yeah, I say go after it.
And
rejection is really part of the whole game.
Part of the show business.
And, you know, you have a great voice, and we think that you should continue. You know, we didn't stop. Mm-hmm. Because you yourself were so determined to do it.
Right.
You wanted it. Not that we were forcing you into this.
Exactly.
It was all you.
Right.
Susie was home. She was happy.
My
you
sister.
You were not happy. You would be in your room and you would be doing
drawing
and doodling and things, but you really
were focused.
You were focused. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I didn't have friends. I just wanted to.
Really? You didn't. I was like worried. I said, "Gee, in a room all the time." And Susie's out there with her friends and they're doing this and that.
Yeah. And also, you also didn't, so sometimes there would be conflicts because I would have auditions every day after school a lot of times. And if something important was happening, you guys would say, no, it's important for you to go to your prom. Skip that big callback or things like that.
Oh, you know, we wanted you to enjoy your life.
Period.
And I mean, it was good to be focused, but you still had to get out and be with your friends and do things.
To live a normal life, young life, period.
And you used to be teased sometimes because you were out there and the kids would see the commercials and they would kind of tease you sometimes about it.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. It was really bad, actually.
It was really bad.
Anyway, so what advice do you have to any parents out there? I remember you'd also send grandma with me sometimes because you guys couldn't go. So it was like a community event taking me to auditions.
Yes.
I mean, I did it a long time ago, but do you have any advice for parents whose kids want to do it?
Be supportive.
Be supportive. Mm-hmm. Yes. And as you said,
be positive.
Start locally.
Exactly.
And then, you know, see what happens. If they can get an agent, then try to send the pictures in. They could have pictures, a photographer take pictures. And we did that also.
That's right. You just had somebody local take my pictures.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't need to spend a fortune on even taking pictures of your kids, especially now with the iPhone takes great pictures.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's
and it is important to be in productions locally.
Uh-huh. Yes. Agree 100%.
Yeah.
Was there ever a time that you doubted my life choice?
Doubted your life choice? I don't think
No, I don't think so. We were 100%. Not at all.
I remember grandma did at one point. Didn't she say, like, before she was dying, she said something like...
She was frightened. She was frightened of you going on the stage. That was that was my mother.
Oh, no, my Nana Rani also was...
Grandma, my mother was also.
Oh.
I don't remember the mother.
No. Nana Rani was very supportive. She was very supportive, you know.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being guests on the show and for helping the other parents out there who want to put your kids into the business.
Right.
Thanks for being here. And thanks for taking me and supporting me all these years. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast and want more episodes, please take a second to rate it. Check out my website, Carrie Butler Coach, for more info on private coaching and teaching at schools. You can follow me on Instagram, CarrieButler1, and visit bpn.fm/Breaking Broadway for all ways to listen, follow, subscribe, hear past episodes of Breaking Broadway, and find out more information.
Together, you and I are Breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.